contribute to that, you can give your $5 either to myself or Daryl Dornbos way in the back. Daryl is standing up waving his arms for those of you in the fellowship hall. He is a treasurer here in the assembly. He would also be happy to take your $5 donation to help pay for the pizza. I'll go over the schedule for tomorrow in more detail here in a minute, and the thumbs up means we're live. So we want to welcome those in our live stream audience back to the meeting. I appreciate you being here as well. I don't want to take up any more of Greg's time. I want to introduce Greg. I met Greg maybe, what, 3-4 years ago? I saw him on Facebook way before I ever met him in person, but I met him and his wife, and they're staying with us. We're glad to have them with us, him and his wife, Delilah. Greg is the pastor at Cross Work Bible Church in Frankfort, Kentucky. He was the speaker this past winter at the Teen Winter Retreat up in Morley, Michigan. And Greg has agreed to be a part of the meeting. He also is running a 24/7 online Grace radio station. I will let him tell you about that at some point this weekend, because he can tell you all the why twos and wherefores of that better than I can. So, Greg, why don't you come on up, and he's going to teach the second study of the weekend meeting, and it is the armor of God and our ability to stand and withstand. Appreciate you having you, Greg.
All right, I've got the green light. All right. First of all, thank you all for allowing us to come be a part of the conference this year. We greatly, greatly appreciate the opportunity that we've been given to come be a part of this. Brian and Becky, thank you all for opening your home to us. It was a few years ago we met at the Chicago conference. Officially, I guess that's when we met. He found out who I was a little bit later on, and he still had us come, so that's good. So praise the Lord for that. If you would go ahead and turn to Ephesians chapter 6. A couple things that I do want to mention. You brought that up. We've got an online radio station that we started in February of 2020. At the very beginning, I had messages from John Verstegen, the Book of Romans, and it was about the first five chapters of him teaching through verse by verse through the Book of Romans. Since then, we've got a whole lot more content. Brian Ross's First Corinthians studies. We've got that throughout the, Saturday or Sunday. Brother Reed, he's got some things on there. We've got some things. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and you can access this absolutely free of charge. There is an iPhone app. There is an Android app. There's also through Alexa. You can tell Alexa to play it. And then I've got some pamphlets with me this weekend. If you'd like to have some more information about that or talk about that, or go ahead and get it set up on your phone, we can do that through the use of the QR codes. We are always looking for more content, so we can continue to add those as we get that. So it's something that we wanted to do years ago, and whenever we found out that you can do an app, we said there's no reason not to do it. If you can take it with you 24/7 and you can play it through your radio and your vehicle, as we came up here through Kentucky and Indiana and then through Michigan, multiple times we had to change the channel because we would lose channels. Well, the good thing with that is you go coast to coast, you're not going to lose that. Even if you go somewhere else in the world, you're still going to be able to access that. So it's interesting to see how many people per month and all those places that listen. It gives us the top five countries every month, and the United States is always first, Canada is always second, but the bottom three always change. So it is an interesting thing. If you'd like some more information about that, you can come see me, and we'll talk about that. So I think I've got all the announcements out of the way. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Father, we thank you for the opportunity that we have to study your word that's been preserved throughout the years and ages, that we can have it, we can handle it, we can study it. We can take this information, apply it to our daily lives, and allow your word to be the final authority in all things, that we might be to the praise and honor and glory of your grace. And it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Now, as David started us off this evening, we're going to be dealing with the weapons of our warfare. How we are, and we'll find this as we go through, how we, as members of the church, the body of Christ, are completely and totally equipped to deal with anything and all things that ever come our way. And the way that we do that is through the scriptures. And we'll see that as we go through. And that to me is one of those things that just kind of jumps out and says, here's the answer before the problem even comes about. And if we know the answer before the problem even comes about, as we go through here, we see there's this issue of standing. When we talk about standing back home, the issue is we always talk about don't wait until the time comes to take a stand. Stand now, and when the time comes to stand, you're already standing. You don't have to get up out of the chair and take a stand. You're already standing from the very get-go. And the issue that we know that we have everything that we possibly need in the scripture, we have access to it 24/7 by being able to read that. Having that information gives us a little bit of a leg up if we get in this book and find out what we have and who we are in Christ. And that's one of those things that as we go through here, we're going to see these things. Now, what we're going to be looking at this evening is we're going to be looking at verses 10 through 13. We're going to identify who our real enemies are. We're going to explain the armor of God, how the armor of God, how that we're going to be able to stand and withstand those enemies using that armor of God. And we're really going to be looking at how when we make that statement about standing, it's really just hold the line. Don't move. Right? And we'll see how some of those things as we go through. Notice here in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. The very first thing we find out here, this is towards the end of the book that Paul writes to the Ephesians, and he says, finally, my brethren, be strong. What's that next word? In. So then, when he talks about this issue of being strong, he's saying, be strong in the Lord. We have to know something about who we are in Christ to be able to take that information to apply it. And that's really one of those things when we think about those thinking issues. That's where that's going to come about, and we'll see this as we go through. So if you think about this, go back real quick to Ephesians chapter 1. And I will apologize because as of today, my voice went low, 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 just from head cold stuff, but I will apologize as we go through. Notice here in Ephesians chapter 1. Let's just take a look at some things here real quick, just to kind of remind ourselves of some things. Start here in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Where? So then, one of those things that we have to know and understand is, what is it that we have because we're in Christ is we get all this stuff right up front. One of the things that I always like to bring up is, you know when you go to a restaurant and the server does their job and they bring you your food and all that stuff, you say, okay, I'm going to give you a tip based upon how you performed. Well, what's interesting about that is if you go back and study the history of that, tips were actually to ensure prompt service. You actually gave the tip prior to the meal. Now, what's interesting here is what God has done is he said, I'm giving you everything up front, and I'm going to ensure proper service because you already have all these things. And it's through these things that allows you to actually perform. And that issue of service now comes out of not me trying to gain something, but that service comes out of me having something. And that being the motivating factor, not to gain something, but to know that I have something, and that is the power that allows me to go and serve, because I already have everything. And so then as we look at this, notice, he says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. How many spiritual blessings? Are we missing any? Isn't that a great thing to know? That whatever you think that you can come up with that you might be lacking, God says, I've already given it to you. You know, you think about these things. Over in Romans chapter 5, one of the things back home, the church that we used to go to, a lady would come up every Sunday morning. She would say, pray that I would have peace. And I'm thinking, Romans chapter 5 tells you you already had it. Right, you go and you read Romans chapter 5, and then what you do by faith is you trust in what that word actually says. And when the word says, therefore being justified by faith, we have access, we have all this. There's something here that we already have, and God says, you have peace with God. The creator of heaven and earth, the possessor of heaven and earth, we have that. Doesn't that kind of make you think, okay, do I have to worry about gaining peace? I already have it. You know, you think about these things and about all the stuff that we already have, and you look at verse 4, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Do you have to do anything to be holy and without blame before him? You've already got, I mean, you stop and think about it. And oftentimes I say, try to read the first 11 chapters of Romans, first 11 verses of Romans chapter 5, and feel bad afterwards. Read the last 10 verses of Romans chapter 8 and try to feel bad afterwards. Read Ephesians 1 and just think, man, I just don't have everything that I need. When we think about this information, and we could go through this the whole time, but think about all the things that we have as a possession that we hold on to right now that God has given to us prior to us doing any service. And we allow that to be the motivating factor to go and serve. Go back over to Ephesians chapter 6. First thing I thought of when I saw that clock was every time I go to the post office, that's the kind of clock that I see. Ours at home at our church, it's a small $5 Walmart, and it's far away. I can't see it, so it's right there. Good job. Delilah said no excuses. So when we look at this in verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. First thing that we want to make sure that we know is we understand who we are in Christ. Notice the second thing is what? And in the power of his might. Whose might? Mine? What I can do? What I can accomplish? The answer is no. It's in the power of his might. Now you stop and you think about that and you go through and you search through. The power that we have access to is the Scriptures. And all we're asked to do is by simply trusting what the verses say, and God says, now go live it. And we think about those things, hopefully, and we go through that stuff. Notice, go back over to Ephesians chapter 1. This is one of the prayers that Paul has. Ephesians chapter 1. Let's just start here in verse 16. He said, and he's talking about the fact that let's look at verse 15 to get it. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that, here's the purpose, here's what he's praying for the folks in Ephesus, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling. You go through there and you kind of think that God does want us to know some stuff to be able to take that information and do something with it. Back home, we spend a lot of time talking about what's the difference between some of these things. I know how a guitar works. You put your finger on the strings, you strum, you do this. I don't understand how to make it make sound. Right? So I know how it works, but I don't understand how to make it do those certain things. The next thing would be wisdom. Somebody should know how to use a guitar at a particular time, at the right time, and the right place, really. It's how to use it the right way. Prudence really gets into the issue of knowing when to use it. You start thinking about those things, you kind of look through that and say, okay, if you know how to use a guitar, you should know when to use it and how to use it. When's the right time to use it, right? I'm not going to go into somebody's funeral and start trying to learn how to play the guitar. That's not prudent. I'm not doing the right thing at the right time. You think through that, and Paul goes through a lot of these things. Paul's dealing here with this issue of he wanted those folks there in Ephesus, and by you and I, by extension, to know some things. Notice, verse 18, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. That, here's the purpose. Why should we have our understanding enlightened? The eyes of our understanding enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. And what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Now this is where I was wanting to get to. And he wants us to know some stuff. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of whose mighty power? His. Which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. Now that's going to get us into some issues that we talk about, because we're going to look at, well, who are our enemies? And we'll take a look at that here momentarily. But notice, when we look at this issue of the power, there's power in this book that we must be able to remind ourselves of, that we have access to every single day, no matter what's going on around us. One of my favorite verses, and we'll go through this a little bit this weekend, one of my favorite verses over the past couple of years has been Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. And the whole idea between Philippians 4, verse 8 is taking a look and saying, don't look at all the junk out there. Find out what's pure, what's right, and what has good report. And you take a look at those things, you say, that's what I'm going to stick my mind to. Don't get caught up in the world. And it's easy. Trust me. I work in a public school. I know. It's hard not to get caught up in this system out here. But what do we get to do? We get to apply this, rather than getting stuck with all that stuff. And it's the power, it's, and as David said, we're going to look at how the Holy Spirit's really the whole issue here. Go back over to Ephesians 6. Now there's a couple things that I've noticed here. Verse 10, he says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And then he kind of tells us how. How? Put on the whole armor of God. By the way, is that our armor? That's God's armor. Again, this issue of being completely and totally equipped with everything that we have, but the issue there is to do what? Put it on. We do have an issue here that we have to make sure that we put this on. Why? That you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now, hold your place here. Go real quick over to 2 Timothy chapter 3. You know, if we go through and we take a look at the life of Timothy back home, we're starting to go through 1 Timothy. You get over to 2 Timothy and you get this idea that Timothy's not really think in the way that he should.
And what happens is you take a look at chapter 1. I said chapter 3. We'll get there in a second. But chapter 1, verse 3, he says, I thank God whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in my grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. You think about that. Paul is telling Timothy, I see something in you that you're not seeing. And he says, I am persuaded that's in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me as prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. There's that issue, that the power of God again. So when we think about those things, flip over to chapter 3. This issue of the stand, really, what we're going to find out here, is Paul is reminding Timothy, you already have everything that you need. What you need to do is get back in what you're supposed to be doing and get back where you're supposed to be. Notice here, 2 Timothy chapter 3. Notice here in verse 10. But thou hast fully known my doctrine. Could the Holy Spirit, by the pen of Paul, write that if that wasn't true? So what do we know about Timothy? He fully knows Paul's doctrine. What else? Notice, manner of life. Timothy knew exactly the manner of life, how Paul conducted himself every single day. You know, you think about when in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and he says, Lord, take this from my flesh, the thorn in the flesh, take it away. He asks three times, and Jesus Christ says, my grace is sufficient for thee. Automatically, he changes his mind and says, I'm going to glory in these instead. That's the thought process, and Timothy going through these issues, and we'll see this in a second, Timothy going through these same types of issues, he says, Timothy, you already know my manner of life, and you know my doctrine, you know my manner of life, you know my purpose, you know my faith, the long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions. You knew all this stuff. Verse 12, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But what? Continue thou. You know what that issue is? Stand. Don't be moved. But the issue there is not just take a stand and don't be moved, but guess what? Go forward with that stand. And he says what? But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned. And that takes us back up to verse 10, right? He knew Paul's doctrine. And of the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which is able to make thee wise unto salvation. Now we'll bring this up real quick because we're going to talk about this a little bit later on anyway. When we talk about the helmet of salvation. Every time the word salvation shows up, is that always salvation from death penalty of sin? No. So we'll keep that in mind. What's he talking about salvation here? With all the persecutions and afflictions and all the stuff that he's dealing with, if we stick our mind there and not get frustrated in all that stuff with everything outside, he's saying, Holy Scriptures is the thing that's going to do that. That's where the power of God lies. Go back over to Ephesians chapter 6. And what's interesting is you look over there in Timothy's not thinking the right way. And that's one of those things we're going to be able to look at this weekend. Verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. When you think about When you think about the wiles of the devil, we know how crafty he is, right? When we've gone through a series, and we'll bring up some of this stuff here in a minute as well. We went through a series. You realize the big fight between God and Satan is not about power. It's about wisdom. There's a wisdom that God has, and there's a wisdom that Satan has. And we're going to talk about that a little bit here in just a second so we can identify some of that stuff. Because if you can identify who your enemy is, what can you do? You can prepare to fight against them. So we'll see this as we go through. But notice, he says, the wiles of the devil. What was... When you go back to Genesis chapter 3, and Satan shows up and he goes up to Eve, does he say, oh, I got to show you. Oh, there's some stuff I got to show you. You got to pay attention real quick. No, he goes in and says, yea hath God said. Yea hath God said. Four words. What's that do to her? Already she's thinking, and what happens? We've talked about this too. She takes out the word freely, and then she says, neither shall we touch it. And one of the things we talked about is, freely is a great grace word. When Paul talks about the law and things, he says, touch not, taste not, and handle not. You know what the result of yea hath God said? Take out grace, replace it with law. We see it all the time today. Churches are built on that. And we see that. And it's just a sly little, are you sure that's what God said? And the whole thing fell apart for her. Now, and we'll get to that in a minute. Back over, notice here. Ephesians 6, verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Do you know what that means? Hold your place there. Go over to Titus. Get Titus 3 and 1 Timothy chapter 2. Paul tells us what? For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Titus chapter 3, and we'll take a look at 1 Timothy here in a second. Titus chapter 3, verse 1. Paul's leaving Titus here at Crete, and he says, I want you to put things in order. And the way he puts things in order is you go through and you find out, here's the doctrine, here's the information. I'm going to go through doctrine, correction, reproof, instruction and righteousness, says, I want to put these things back in order. Verse 1, he says, put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man. How's that one gone the last 3+ years? That was kind of hard, right? To be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. Why? Verse 3, for we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. And you go on down through there and you see that we're justified by grace. And but here's the issue. What's He bringing up? The reason that we should be able to do that is because we used to be the exact same way. Go back over to 1 Timothy chapter 2. First Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, notice that, first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks may be for the guys you like. All men. For kings and for all that are in authority. Now, when we talk about this issue, there's going to be some issues that we're going to pull back off of verse 12 or in Ephesians chapter 6. And we'll see how all that stuff works. Notice why. That we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Why? For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. When you think about that, first thing I always think of, go back over to Romans chapter 12, verse 2, right? What is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God? Go back over here to Ephesians chapter 6. One of the things we want to be able to talk about is identify our real enemies. Well, one of the first things I heard Tom Brochet say this one time. He was talking about the armor of God, and the question he said was, "Where's our enemies going to attack us? The places that we have this, and we'll see this as we go through. That's where they're going to attack." But notice, verse 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Even though we find sometimes that we think that that's what the issue is, it's not. We're not fighting with flesh and blood. There's something else behind this. And that's one of the things Brother Dave was talking about. There's something else there that we want to make sure that we get to, because if we can find out who the real enemies are, we can actually deal with them. But for so many years, there was a lady back home. She was subbing for me one day, and I come back in, and there was a picture that she left about how to gird up your loins. And it was a guy dressed in a tunic. So he reaches down, grabs the backside, pulls it up, straps it around, ties it on, and then all of a sudden he's got a sword. And I'm like, that's... You know what happens when we allow that type of stuff to rule this? What the real issues are. And the problem is they don't see the real issues. They think it's like what you were talking about. The breastplate. That's you know, when we get into these things, we find out really what's going on. Notice, what are we wrestling against? Principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Real quick, go to Ephesians chapter 2. I want us to get a couple things because I want us to be able to see something. Get Ephesians chapter 2. Also, go back to Isaiah chapter 14. And since I said that, you all know exactly where we're going. Ezekiel 28. So Ephesians 2, Ezekiel 28, Isaiah 14. For years, we would always get bookmarks made because, you know, we'd do this sometimes. One of our guys got real techie, so he's got a verse pulled up on his phone, a verse pulled up on his computer, and he's got two Bibles laying next to him, so he finds them all. He's like, that's one way to do it. But I want us to be able to, I want us to think about something real quick. Isaiah chapter 14. Isaiah chapter 14 and Ezekiel 28. There's a couple things that I want us to make sure that we see here. Get Ezekiel chapter 28 first, then we'll get Isaiah 14. Ezekiel chapter 28. Moves way too fast. Ezekiel 28, notice in verse 2, Son of man, say unto the prince of Tyrus, thus saith the Lord God, because thine heart is lifted up, and thou hast said, I am God, I sit in the seat of God, in the midst of the seas, Yet thou art a man and not God, though thou set thine heart as the heart of God. Behold, thou art wiser than Daniel. There is no secret that they can hide from thee. Now what's interesting is you go over and you find out about how wise Daniel was, is Daniel gets a wisdom, a mystery that's revealed to him in a secret, and he's able to go to the king and say, here's your secret, here's your dream, and here's the interpretation thereof. And that was given to him by God. And what's interesting here is what we find out is this particular person says they're told that they're what? Wiser than Daniel. And there's what? There is no secret that they can hide from thee. With thy wisdom and with thy understanding, thou hast gotten thee riches and hast gotten gold and silver unto thy treasures. By thy great wisdom and by thy traffic hast thou increased thy riches, and thine heart is lifted up because of thy riches. You go on down through here and you find out, verse 14, thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Well, who's he talking about here? Satan. Notice this in verse 12. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast what? Corrupted thy wisdom. Now, when we think about this issue, and what I was talking about is, you know, it's not about who's more powerful. It's the wisdom is the issue. And the wisdom is one of those things, how is it that we think through life is what's the real issue. What do we find out about his great wisdom? What is it that we find out about the fact that he's wiser than Daniel? What happened to his wisdom is it was what? Corrupted. There's now something wrong with the wisdom because of what he's done. Notice, thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by the reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings, and they may behold thee. Thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thy iniquities, by the iniquity of thy traffic. Therefore I will bring forth a fire from the midst of thee. I will devour, it shall devour thee, and I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all them that behold thee. Now, go over to Isaiah chapter 14. With the wisdom that Satan has that's now corrupted because of all those things we just read, his goal then was to use that to gain something. Notice, verse 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? Thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. What does corrupted wisdom end up doing is, I will. It's a me-centered issue. Now, over in Ephesians chapter 2, think about what we've got going on here. As we've grown up, as a small child, you'd see somebody playing with your toy, and what would you say? That's okay, you can have it, it's okay. No, you say, mine. And we see how me-centered our culture has become. I mean, you can't talk to, the kids that I have at school, you can't talk to them because the phone's in their face. You don't even know what they look like. We didn't know what they look like because of masks. Now we don't know what they look like because of their phones. And they're looking at themselves. But when we think about that issue, where does that come from? Well, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, he says, and you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world. Now, you stop and you think that real quick. What happened when Satan goes to Eve and says, "Yea, hath God said," she forgets the grace word freely. And what happens is, and of course we all know this, adds to, subtracts from, waters down, and then Satan finally denies God's word. And he's saying, and what do you find out? She says, "This looks good for me." And that's where, unfortunately, a lot of us have become. This is what he's telling us, saying in time past, and that's your personal time past before you got saved. This is how we walked. Had I known how I walked before, and this was the verse that would tell me, I would say, yeah, I could see that. Wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world. All right. Well, who came up with the course of this world? According to the prince of the power of the air. When we look over at Ephesians chapter 6, and it's talking about the fact that we don't fight against flesh and blood, but we're fighting against principalities and powers and mights and dominions. It's not people. It's this system that we have that we see all around us that we used to walk in. And then Paul, a little bit later on in Ephesians, says, don't go and walk the same way that the Gentiles walk, because you know exactly how to do that, because you were doing a real good job of that by yourself. Now you've come to know and understand that Christ died for you, that he shed his blood for you, that he was buried, and he rose again the third day for your justification. And you say, I'm going to put my faith and trust in that and that alone. And God says, I'm now going to place you, I'm going to take you out of Adam, I'm going to put you into Christ. And now you have some things that actually allows you to fight against the system that you grew up in. That's the thinking thing. And we'll see this as we go through. Changing the way that we think through life, that we don't get caught up in all the stuff out there. We go and we find out who we are in Christ and apply that as we live. Now, me, the way I look at verse 2 there, where he says, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, the way I look at that is, and it's probably because of my teaching background, I look at that as, I teach a math course, and in that course, there's certain things that I teach, and when I'm done with that, then my students should have some sort of knowledge or wisdom in that course. When we look at the course that Satan put on, it's what? It's based on a corrupted wisdom that says, me. I'm the big thing. And everything needs to be done for me, and I need you to do stuff for me. I'm going to exalt myself over whoever. And that's the exact opposite of what happens. You go over to Galatians, and you find out that Paul says what? Bear one another's burdens. And he says what? To care more about them. When you get over to Philippians, and he talks about having the mind of Christ, and he says, esteem others better than yourself. That's complete opposite of the course of this world. That's what that is. And we see those things. So when we talk about this real enemy, that's what we're dealing with. And there's that connection between those things. We see that. Here in Ephesians chapter 2, continue on. Well, who is it that created the course of this world? It's according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Verse 3, among whom also we all had, that's a good part, we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath even as others. The list that Brother David was talking about earlier, that's that stuff. That's the list. That's, we were fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of disobedience, or children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. Now, when we take a look at these things, go real quick to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. First Corinthians chapter 2. verse 9. Verse 9 is one of those pet peeve verses for me, because people read it and say, you don't know. God's mysterious. You never know what's going to happen. And that just drives me. It's like just a nail in the side of my head. I'm like, man, that. Notice verse 9. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Now, one of the things that jumped out at me a few years ago is, it doesn't say comparing spiritual things with spiritual things. And I always read it that way. Always quoted it that way. When the Holy Spirit does what He's designed to do, and that is to teach, what He's doing is He's taking the spiritual things that we have written down in the Scriptures, and He's comparing them with the spiritual, the believer. Does what you have saved up in your soul match what's in the Scripture? And He's comparing those spiritual things that with that spiritual. And how do we know this? Keep on going. Verse 15, He says, but he that is spiritual judgeth all things. When you think about what's going on, is the Holy Spirit's going to take those things that are written in the Scriptures, and He's going to compare them to what's actually you've stored up in your soul. Not just stuff that we know in our head, but actually we've actually believed it. And we say, this verse is what I'm going to put my life on, and say, I believe what this verse says about me. And the Holy Spirit says, yep, that's what it's supposed to be. And oftentimes, we're still stuck in, and that's why Paul says, don't go walking as other Gentiles walk. And the Holy Spirit says, that's what the Word says. You've got that. That doesn't match. And what the Holy Spirit gets to do is teaches us, comparing those spiritual things with the spiritual. What is it that we've actually stored up here that we're actually putting out? And that's what allows us to stand, to not be moved, to continue. Ephesians, go to Ephesians chapter 4. 12 minutes. All right. So do I get Dave's time that he left over? Or are you saving that for tomorrow? Okay. No, that's fine. That's fine. Just a few things I want to mention real quick. Ephesians chapter 4, when we think about these things, verse 11, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, and he gave. Now, first of all, we look at that and we say, okay, gave, that's a past tense word. But there's something I've noticed here too. You notice it says some, comma, apostles, not some apostles. I want to give you some apostles. It's he gave some apostles, and he gave some prophets, and he gave some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Why? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man of the measure, the stature, the fullness of Christ. Why? That we henceforth, from this time forward, henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness. Now, who else do we know is sly and uses cunning craftiness? That wisdom, the corrupted wisdom that we all grew up in, were part of, that's still out there. And unfortunately, sometimes it's in churches. And sometimes it's behind pulpits. You know when you want to say something? I'm going to not. not say that. All right. If you want to know, ask me later. And here's why. Whereby they lie in wait to see. But speaking the truth in love may grow up unto him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. There's this issue of, we can get into a whole bunch of stuff with this one, but when you come together in the local assembly, and if the local assembly is doing what they're supposed to do, and you do that here, you do that in Columbus, and we do that in Frankfort, and you do that over in South Bend, wherever you go, and you're doing what you're supposed to do, the whole body of Christ is edified. Ever thought about your impact on the whole thing? That's tremendous to me. Go back over to Ephesians chapter 6. So when we talk about those enemies and how we're supposed to be able to deal with that those issues, and it's that thinking process that's based off of the corrupted wisdom, and how we can change that as we apply God's Word as we live and walk and have our being. Verse 13, notice. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God. Notice he doesn't say in verse 13 to put it on. Because verse 11, you should already have it on. But he says, now, take it with you. Go and do something with it. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God. Why? That ye may be able to withstand in the what? Evil day. Now, you go through and there's some verses that we could go take a look at. We'll get one real quick. Galatians chapter 1. Just for time's sake. We could go take a look at Titus chapter 2 and some other verses. But notice this. Galatians chapter 1, verse 3. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that, here's a purpose, that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. So when we talk about how to withstand in the evil day, we have Christ, the purpose of what, one of the purposes that he given his life is that he might, what? Save us from that present evil day. How? By getting in the book and finding out. Put on the armor of God. Take it with you. Be equipped with the equipping that we already have. We could go over to Romans chapter 13 and Paul talks about darkness. And we live in a time of darkness because of what's going on. But the good news is it's not complete darkness, because we get to be light in darkness. If we shut all these lights off, complete darkness. You have one little light flicker, darkness goes away. Darkness is the absence of light. So if there's no light, there's darkness. Now, we live in a time, Paul says, it's the night. Go live like you're supposed to during the daytime. So we think about these things. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, well, what's the all? Put it on, take it with you. That's all. He's saying, and having done all, to do what? To stand. When we think about what he's dealing with here, all that we're asked to do is to put it on and take it with us. Continue. Don't give up. Don't allow somebody to come by and take that away from you. How do we do that? By faith. Taking God at His Word. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. When God says something, what do? Believe the verse. What's the one thing in the world that you can do where you don't do something is believe. And God says, I've equipped you with my power in 66 books. Romans 3, Philemon, go find out who you are and go put that on display each and every day. And you know what we get to do? We'll end with this. Romans chapter 8. And we'll end off here. Hey, look, I might have some extra time too. Is there? There was a bell that went off at Tom Bruchet's church, and I didn't know what it was. That was the time for me to stop talking. I found that out later. Romans chapter 8, verse 35. And again, you go through and read these. Verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecutions or famine or nakedness or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. I'm going to pause there for a second. When you think about that issue of a conqueror does go, they go in, they take over, they seize all the stuff that they want, they get rid of all the stuff they don't want, and they might say, okay, we'll let you stay, but you're going to be under our control. But I've thought about this. When he says we're more than conquerors, what can happen if a country goes in and conquers another country? Somebody can come in and conquer them. It's happened throughout history. Have you ever thought about the fact that you're unconquerable? You're more than a conqueror. You have everything you need right up front. And God says, just go believe what I've given you. Notice Paul says, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers. By the way, isn't that our enemies over in Ephesians chapter 6? What's he say? I am persuaded that none of these things, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. One of the things we're going to talk about tomorrow night is that helmet of salvation. Can you not believe those verses and live a life thinking, man, I'm losing it? You can choose not to believe those verses and think you've not a conqueror, and you miss out on all that stuff. So as we continue this weekend, think about those things as we go through and allow God's Word to be the final authority in all things. Father, we thank you once again for your Word. We thank you for the life that we have in Christ Jesus. We're thankful that we get to be a part of glorifying the Father in the plan, glorifying the Son in what He did as going to the cross, and glorify the Holy Spirit, that we get to be a part of all that, that we might be to the praise and honor and glory of your grace. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Yeah.
All right. Thanks, Greg. Appreciate the study there. It's late. A lot of you have been traveling all day. Tomorrow morning, if you haven't already done so, I would grab one of these sheets. Just kind of want to go over the schedule for tomorrow morning. We're going to be back here at 9 o'clock tomorrow morning for the first morning session. I'm going to be teaching that session on the belt of truth and the breastplate of righteousness. Then at 10:15, Brother Reed's going to teach again on the sandals of peace and the shield of faith. And then the morning will end at 11:30 with Brother Reeser talking about the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. Then we're going to have our pizza lunch here at the church. And again, if you are so inclined, if you would consider giving us a $5 donation to help us cover the cost of the pizza, we would certainly appreciate that. And then we have a break time tomorrow afternoon. And then we have an evening study at 7 that Brother Reed is going to give on victory as a prayer away. And then we have a time of fellowship and so forth with ice cream here at the church to end the day. So we got a full day tomorrow. What time will the building be open tomorrow? 7. If you want to be here at 7, feel free. Now, this study's at 9 a.m. Some of you are like, that's too early. I have to occupy 30 10th graders at 7:35 in the morning. So I'm good at 9 o'clock. I'm ready to go. So hopefully you will be too. If there will be refreshments here in the morning, some continental breakfast type stuff will be set out. So if you have traveled in from out of town, there'll be food here in the morning, coffee, yogurt, that kind of stuff. So I'm planning on being here around 8:30. If you want to be here at 7, go ahead. But nothing will probably be set out at that point. But we're glad you're here. We appreciate you coming. Stick around for a bit. I'm assuming we'll probably see some stuff being cleaned up here shortly, but feel free to fellowship and et cetera. Ernie, would you mind closing us with a word of prayer?